I love the imagery in Joshua 4,
where he's standing out there and he's overlooking Jericho. And just getting ready, trying to figure out, gee, what is my game plan? Because what's going to happen tomorrow? And all of a sudden he looks up and there's the angel of the Lord. It was Jesus Christ standing there, and he doesn't know what to do with that. And why did Jesus show up at that point in time? And I think it was because of this. He was saying, you're not alone. And what you're going to confront tomorrow morning, you're not alone. Everybody say that. You're not alone. Sometimes it may feel like it, but you're not alone. And he has ways of meeting us when we most need it, when we are deepest in fear. He has ways of meeting us and saying, I'm here. I'm here. Father, as we approach your word, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart reflect your words in your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're new with us, we back in February started a series where we're calling The Journey an overall theme for the year. And it's a theme where we are looking at how do we not just make disciples amongst all of us in these four walls, because we are about making passionate followers of Jesus Christ. But how can we take and make passionate followers? How can we be used by the Spirit to make followers and to nurture passionate followers of Jesus Christ beyond these walls? And right now we are in a series on how do we be a guide to others? How can we have an influence with our neighbors and our friends in a way that they say, wow, I like what I'm seeing. I want what you have. And I'm excited. Kim and I got invited to a neighborhood block party this last week. It's coming up next Saturday. Now, you got to understand, I don't live in a neighborhood. I live on a street. There's nothing neighborly about my neighborhood. We don't see each other September through May. All right. And then after that, we might see each other occasionally. And Kim and I have tried to invite people over, but it just never really goes anywhere. Never what we long to see. Well, there are about three houses down. A neighbor came to our house and is doing a block party next Saturday. And while Kim and I are going to be celebrating our anniversary, I says, honey, I said, I want us to be back in time for this. We're going to go. We want to be able to have an influence in the lives of our neighbors, and this whole year is about what that looks like. Okay, the whole be the guide emphasis is what does it look like to have that kind of an influence, to be the kind of person that other people say, oh, I want what you have. And we're looking at the qualities in 1 Timothy 3 as a sort of markers for that. And today we are looking at being hospitable. Now, some of you think, Martin, we just talked about that 3 months ago. I know, but you probably already forgot. All right, so we're going to talk about it again, but in a little different way. But before we dive into it, I want us to watch a video that really deeply moved me in relationship to this topic. So let's go on ahead, and if we're ready for that video, Lars?
I'm Lisa Etter-Carlson, and I am from both St. Louis, Missouri, and Grand Rapids, Michigan. I lived in St. Louis till I was about 12, and then Grand Rapids, Michigan, until I was 22, and then have been here ever since. So I've lived here in Seattle, a block or two off of Aurora Avenue. Let me make sure I'm not lying. A block or two off Aurora Avenue, longer than I've lived anywhere. And so we wanted to create just a beautiful space of hospitality that's centered around a kitchen. And so our kitchen is really unique and special. I wish it wasn't unique, but it is unique. We don't make food and serve it to them. We actually stock our kitchen with food so that our friends that come in can make their own food. So they can go into the kitchen, they can open the fridge, they can decide what they would like to eat that day, make it for themselves, make it for others. On average, we have between 40 to 60 people that come into our space every day. Unfortunately, it's growing. Anything that has happened or developed, like any of our programs, have developed out of them teaching us what it is that they need.
I'll just go ahead and let you know you missed out on one of the best meals ever.
So what you'll see is, what I think you'll see, is the doors open and people come in and they just start cooking food. We'll start smelling eggs and we'll start hearing people interacting with one another and laughing. Probably hear some arguing at some point. A lot of people sleeping, just resting. It is never boring. It was really helpful for me to go to the Seattle School and put words and theories and thoughts to all the, for lack of a better word, direct service that I've been doing for so many years. It was like all these aha moments where I realized that the scripture was actually greeting something that I've known for so long. I hope it's a place where we're all experiencing what home should be, and that is working through hard things together, loving one another, showing up for one another, grieving when we lose someone, celebrating when someone transitions out of the life. I think here is where I have experienced more home than any place. This is home.
All right. I want to ask us some questions, okay? Sorry, I should have given you the note to pay really close attention to that video, the details. But what did you see happening? What did you see in the eyes of those who were in the video, the countenance? What did you see in Lisa, who is the one narrating the video? What did you see? Peace. Yeah. It was beautiful. It was peaceful. It was peace. It was a place of peace. What else?
Acceptance.
Yeah. Acceptance of some pretty raw and rough people, right? What else?
Hope.
Yes. Passion. Compassion. Yeah. What else?
Vulnerability.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Empowerment. Yeah. Love. Yeah. Commitment. You know what I saw? Presence. Presence. The ability to just be with people who are very different, very raw. That was where you were able to just be present. And just the impact that that had on the guests. I thought it was beautiful. And I thought, man, I saw open-heartedness. Just an openness to one another. Now, it's a promotional video. I get that. But there's a part of me that saw that and I thought, wow, being an open-hearted person, it's beautiful. Open-hearted people who are open-hearted towards others, which is the essence of what hospitality is. It's just beautiful. As I watch that, I feel compelled. There's something within me that says, wow, Jesus would do that. Jesus did that. And I want to be this kind of person. I don't just want to go do this, but I actually want to become this kind of person. So I felt compelled, but I also felt conflicted. You know why? Because I want it to come easy. I want being that kind of person, offering those people in general, I want it to be easy for me. And I had someone confront me on that 2 weeks ago. We were sitting at my table and we were talking about this. And I was wrestling through some of my emotions, some of my thoughts, because Joe Churland has actually been up there and visited Aurora Commons because she works in Kent with the homeless. And And I says, you know, what about? She says, Martin, the bottom line is you just want it to be easy. And I think, yeah, I do. And it's not. It's not. See, I know that firsthand because I've had people live with us. In our home, we've had a pregnant teen who got kicked out, who was kicked out of her home by her father because she got pregnant, and we had her live with us. And boy, that was our first experience, and that was really odd. It was really difficult, and I did not handle it all very well at all. And then we had a homeless woman live with us and who really tried to be very helpful but got very annoying to us. And then we had a drug-addicted woman live with us who went through all of our stuff looking for anything that she could substitute for drugs. And I had to take her down in the middle of the night to freezing nights in November, and she had a broken leg. I want it to be easy. When things aren't easy, I find that there's this thing that rises up within me that I call, not so affectionately, the jerk within. Right? We all have a jerk within, right? Anybody not have a jerk within them? I've got a plethora of them. That jerk within says, why do you do this? Why would you do that? Come on, take responsibility for yourself. Come on. The jerk just begins to speak out words of death rather than words of life. I don't always know what to do with that. See, I've not always been prepared for the issues that this kind of a ministry, that even the ministry of hospitality amongst those people I like, sometimes rises up within me. The issues that I have within my own heart that sabotage my capacity to become an open-hearted person. Because that jerk is very much at home within me. See, I call it the jerk within simply because it helps me to not take responsibility for me. Just a little secret there. But yet at the same time, I also feel very enticed. Because there's something beautiful about what I see there. There's something beautiful that I see that takes place in the lives of people who have worked with the homeless amongst us. You know, I think of Brian and Carolyn Anderson. You know, working with in a hospitable type of situation can happen in 100 different ways. But I've watched Brian and Carolyn not just work with the homeless, but work to help those who have no home get a home. Beautiful people. They're some of the most compassionate people I know. I know they didn't know I was going to talk about them this morning. Neither did my son Nathan and Emily. You know, I have love what they do. You know, once a month they are opening up their home and their property to provide food, meat, for anyone here who wants to come because they're open-hearted people. But not only that, but they invite some of their neighbors. I've met some of their neighbors. They're not like my neighbors. They're a little more raw and rough around the edges, but I love it. I remember the first time I met their neighbor, I thought, I don't know what to do with this guy, so I just kind of ignored him, hoping someone else would go talk with him. But then the next time, I thought, you know what, I'm just going to engage this. The jerk within just had to go back to his cage, as my granddaughter says. I said, put him back in this cage, Papa. And had a good time talking to him, or at least listening to him. He talks a lot. But I love what I've seen, this kind of open-heartedness, embracing it, trying to move into it. I love what it does for other people, but it's not easy. I remember when we were housing the homeless here for freezing nights, and I've had to break up 2 different fights on the front steps. I thought, what in the world am I doing? This is not my idea of a good time. But yet there was something beautiful about what I saw taking place in the lives of those here who were serving. And it really was beautiful. Open-hearted people are beautiful people. And I love that. I love that a lot. I love what's happening in the lives of the Comerfords, where they actually, when they have their small group meeting, they actually feed them. And just the fellowship that takes place around their table. I want to join their group. There's something about a table that draws people together, right? It kind of puts everybody else on equal footing. It allows us to be able to just participate as human beings. It creates a place of presence. That's hospitality. It doesn't have to just happen around a table. It can happen in 100 different ways, but that's how we most identify with it, right? Here's the thing. We are called to be hospitable people. And I don't really like the word called. I couldn't find a word that I like. But so it's the closest I could come to. We're called, but not just to out of obligation, but to become that kind of person. To not just be hospitable to people among us and people beyond us. To not do it out of a sense of obligation or got to, but to do it out of a sense of, this is the kind of person I really want to become. This is the kind of person that the rest, so many in our world, in our society, don't understand. But we are called to become open-hearted people because we are created in the image of an open-hearted Father. We see it in the Garden of Eden right at the very beginning, which was the consummate reality of hospitality, right? That was a beautiful picture where there was a, I don't know if they had a table, I don't know what they did for food, but I do know this, that they walked and talked together. The old hymn told me so. But they would fellowship together. I'm sure it was around food because God loves food. That's why I love it. A little too much. But in eternity, there's going to be a table where we are present, where He is present, and He is the host. Why? Because He's an open-hearted Father. But it wasn't long before hospitality turned to hostility. It took a very dark turn. It took a very dark turn where there was once belonging, there was connection, but that longing, that connection turned into something that was very, very different. Hospitality turned to hostility, belonging and connection and open-heartedness turned into disconnection, isolation, suspicion, and shame. But that doesn't mean that there's not a longing to be able to experience it again. That doesn't mean that there's a lost sense of longing for this. Indeed, there's an echo, and I think that that echo is what I was hearing as I watched that video again and again and again, saying, Lord, I want to be a part of that. That's what it longed. There's an echo there, and I hope that you all heard that same echo as you watched that video. By the way, it's going to be posted on our website for those who would like to go back and watch it again and again and again. Because I hope you will. But hospitality turned to hostility, which bred disconnection, isolation, suspicion, and shame. But here's the thing, here's the hope. We are being recreated through the gospel. We are being recreated through the gospel, the work of the Spirit, and the example of Jesus who says to us, go and do likewise, to once again become open-hearted people. People who have a little less suspicion, people who feel a little less isolated, people who choose to become a little bit more belonging, a little bit more connected with others. We are becoming that kind of person. I'm not there yet because my jerk still is very much alive within me. And so is yours. Okay? That jerk within. But we are being recreated to become that a little bit more and more and more through The work of the gospel, the work of the Spirit, and the example of Jesus. And the question is, do we want to participate in that? Are we willing and eager to do so? Because this is at the heart of community. This is at the heart of what Jesus calls us to be. Is that kind of person who is open-hearted towards others, regardless of their circumstances and their situations. But Martin, that's good for people amongst us and people who are like us. But I'm not so much into that whole homeless thing, the whole mental illness thing. You know, I really think that what's taken place in Seattle, what's taken place in Puyallup is really sad, and we're just sort of bringing more of it upon ourselves. And you know what? I really have a political position that says, you know, kick them out and do away with them. I'm not talking about political positions. I don't really care about the political position. And I don't know what the political solution is, but I do know this. And that is what the kingdom position is. And that's what shapes our behavior. So regardless of who you vote for, regardless of whether or not in principle you support Shawana, whatever her name is up in Seattle, or Kirby Wilbur, or whomever, you know, whoever is out there running and being the decision maker in the political realm, the decision maker in our realm is that we are first and foremost citizens of the kingdom of God, and those are the values that must shape our hearts, our desires, and our actions. Amen? And I don't really know what the answer is politically. I don't know what to do about the homeless problem here on South Hill. We were broken into a couple weeks ago. Had about $1,000 worth of equipment stolen. I don't know who did that, but I suspect. But that doesn't mean I can't be open-hearted towards them, even though the jerk within me rises up and says, away with them. In fact, I was talking with Brian Waple, and I says, dirty sinners. And he said, see, that was the jerk talking, not me. And he says, Martin, that's what we all are. Thank you, Brian, for that reminder. But as a people who are citizens in the kingdom of God, we are called by God, compelled by God, being formed by God to desire opening our homes, our hearts and our hands to people so that they can experience dignity, belonging, connection, and to know that there is a God who is open-hearted and open-handed towards them and welcomes them into his family through Jesus Christ. Amen? Our message doesn't matter if our actions don't say it loudly. Jesus set this as an example in Luke 15. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming to hear him. Why? Very familiar passage, but I want to look at it again. But the Pharisees and the experts of the law were complaining, this man welcomes, and that's a word for hospitality, welcomes sinners. He gives them dignity. He gives them belonging. He gives them connection. And he eats with them. What's the point? The point is this, Jesus loves the outsiders like they are insiders. Jesus loves the outsiders like they're the insiders. He loves them in such a way that he invites them to be a part of his community. And you know what the rest of Luke 15 does? Is he says, you go and do the same. And that's why he tells the story of the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. That's why he does that. As he said, be open-hearted people. You Pharisees, scribes, Pharisees, you claim my name. You claim to be followers of me. Therefore, you go and do like I'm doing. For me, it feels compelling. But the jerk within lives. Whenever I do that, my granddaughter says, put him in his cage, Papa. That's what he does. because I don't always know what to do. I don't always know what to do when we have homeless people here and I have to clean the feces off the walls of the men's bathroom. I mean, this is not fun. I don't know what to do with all of that. I don't know what to do with trying to help them with their issues because I'm a fixer. So when I have someone who needs to be fixed, I get out my little toolbox and I say, let's do this. And sometimes they don't want to be fixed. And I'm not really sure what to do with that. But see, that hinders my ability to be present and to be a presence of the Savior who is the fixer. Amen. But Jesus loves them like they are insiders. And he is recreating. He is enticing me to say, Martin, I want you to do the same. And to me, it does feel compelling, but it does feel overwhelming as well. And I'm deeply conflicted by it. And I believe that many of us are as well, right? I can see it in some of our faces. We don't always know what to do with this because we like to be with people who we are like, not with people who are different. And I know it's a complex issue, and I'm not really here to talk about the complexities of drug addiction and mental illness and all that kind of stuff. That's way, way, way beyond my pay grade. I'm talking about the heart that kingdom citizens are to embrace, and that is an open-heartedness towards others. And that's what I loved about that video. That's what I loved about Lisa, was because she wasn't there to fix anyone. She was there to just be present. Now, I hope to go and visit Aurora Commons soon because I'm really fascinated by it. I really am. And I don't think it's just because I'm a compassionate person, because my jerk within will fight against that. But I do believe that it reflects the work of the gospel within my life, the work of the Spirit, and the example of Jesus, that Jesus says, would you come and be a part? And I'm not talking just to the homeless, but I'm talking to one another. I'm talking about my neighborhood. I'm talking about people that I run across. I'm getting ready to go on a 4,000-mile trip, motorcycle trip, in 2 weeks. Actually, 12 days. And I'm going to Sturgis. And if you know anything about the bike rally at Sturgis, it's a wild and crazy place. And some people say, what is a pastor or a preacher going there for? It's because I'm going to learn how to do this a little bit better, and to see the sights and to have some fun. But my mentor is going with me, so we're going to keep each other out of trouble, all right? But you know, Martin, he says, what do you think about just going to a bar and just hanging out and just kind of being with people? And I says, all right, Bruce, you're with me. I drink root beer. I don't drink beer. But I'm good with that, so we're going to do that together for 3 days. Plus a lot of writing. But I want to learn how to do this better. I want to learn how to become this kind of way in a more complete sense, because it's a becoming thing, right? It's not a doing thing. It involves doing, but becoming works hand in hand first with doing. That's what I long for. This has been the way it's been for God's people from the very beginning, for Israel. He says, I created you as to be an open-hearted people. In fact, in Leviticus 9, he says this, or 19, he says this, when you gather in the harvest of your land, and you must not completely harvest the corner of your field, and you must not gather up the gleanings of your harvest, you must not pick the vineyard bare, and you must not gather up the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You must leave them for the poor and the foreigner. Now, what's his point? His point is this: make space to care for the outsider, for those who have nothing. Make space to care for them like you would the insider. Make space to care for the outsider, that they may get a taste of what it's like to be an insider. And then he says this, for I am the Lord your God. What's his point there? Is that just a command? Do this because I told you? No, the idea of that phrase is this. You know how I've accepted and how I've treated you. Now I want you to go and treat others in that same fashion. What I did for you, I want you to go do for others. What I do for you, I plan to do through you for others. Leave room for people. Leave room for people. I want you to have enough margin for others so that when there is a need, when you meet someone on the street or in your neighborhood or at your workplace who has a need, or you meet someone amongst us who has a need, you have the margin to be able to give. You have the space to be able to invite them over. You have the capacity to be able to take and walk with them. Leave room for people. Leave room in your finances so that you have space. This is how we give people a taste of what our Father is like, when we have open tables, when we have open hearts, when we have open hands to people, so that people know that there is a God who is also open-hearted and open-handed towards them through Jesus Christ. Leviticus 19:33. The foreigner who resides with you in your land, you must not oppress him. The foreigner who resides with you must be to you like a native citizen among you. And know this, I'm not making an immigration statement. So you must love him as yourself. The statement that I am making is the way that I care for me, I seek to care for others. And here's the reason. Because you were foreigners in the land of Egypt and I met you there. It says, care for the outsider the way you care for yourself. Care for the outsider the way that you care for yourself. Do for others what I do for you. Make your home not just a home for your family, but for those who have no home. Maybe they have a roof over their head, but they don't have a home. There are many people who are like that, who don't have a sense of belonging. A place where they are welcomed, a place where they belong. Make this building here, not just your home, but this building here, not just for you and your family, a place to belong, but for those who come here needing a place to belong. And you know, there are a lot of people who come here week after week who still don't feel like they belong, for whatever reasons. And our goal, my desire, is that the gospel would shape us to become open-hearted people so that we can become alongside another person and say, you belong. Not just those words, but through how we work with them, how we treat them. We all know what it's like to feel like an outsider, right? We all know what that's like. So what gives you a sense of belonging? What gives you a feeling like you do belong? What are two things, two or three things? What gives you a sense of that you belong? Relationships. What else? Acceptance. What else? Invitation. Explain that.
Be included and invited to, whether it's come sit with me, come
have
a coffee, just the invitation and the offer.
Yes. Remembering their names. We have someone here who has attended for probably the last 10 years, and the reason she came back was because I remembered her name. That was 10 years ago. I was 40. In my 40s then, it's a little bit more of a stretch. Someone said something over here. Generosity. Explain that, Larry. Yeah.
Hospitality.
Hospitality. Amen. Amen. Just saying, let's come over. Why don't you come on over? Let's go out. Let's come over. You know, don't go to a restaurant. It's too loud. Just have someone over. Make space. Say, this Sunday we're going to invite someone over. We don't know who yet, but we're going to go to church and we're going to be led by the Spirit and say, Father, who would you like us to have over today? And just go and blow their minds. But Martin, I feel alone, like an outsider, struggling to belong. How can I have the capacity to share with others if I don't feel like I belong? And there are many here. And my answer to that question is this. Open-heartedness is not
based upon how other people treat me, but it's based upon my Father's treating me and being open-hearted towards me. And then I go and I give that as a gift to someone else, whether I feel it or not from others. And I would long for all of us to feel it from others, but sometimes we don't. So just say, Father, help me to be for others what you have been for me. But connect with the Father and say, Father, empower me along this line. Help me to connect with you so I can be a river of grace for others. Open-heartedness. Preach the gospel to ourselves daily and say, Father, how have you been open-hearted towards me in this last week? And begin telling yourself that message again and again and again. And then live the gospel with others. Say, Father, help me to be for others what you have been for me and what I long for others to be with me. Help me to be for others what you have been for me and what I long for others to be for me. That's a river. It's not a reservoir where we just sit back and collect, but we take that which the Father has given to us and we say, how can I demonstrate it? How can I give it to someone else? But Martin, I love the idea, but I'm tired and I don't have time. And I always have to ask the question, are we sure maybe we're tired and we don't have time, but really where's our heart? Have we lost our heart for the open-heartedness that our Father wants to create within me, within us? Recapture that vision and be able to say, Father, help me to be for others what you have been for me, even though sometimes I'm tired. And you got to be willing to gauge, and I don't like this term, but it's a popular one, self-care, taking care of yourself, making sure that you have margin that you're receiving from the Father so that you can give to others what the Father has given to you. Martin, I don't know where to start. Well, what you doing for lunch today? Got space, margin to invite someone over? I would encourage all of us just not to do that amongst us, but to do it amongst our neighbors. A couple of months ago, we gave out this, what we call this Oikos card. Oikos is household, those who are under your influence. And we encourage you to be praying, to write in the names of those for whom you are praying. Remember that? And to say, Lord, I've got five names or four names on my list of people who I really long to bless and I really long to eat with who are outside of these four walls even. Lord, Father, help me to continue to pray that you would do a work in their hearts that only you can do and begin praying and then invite them. I'm hoping to learn a few more names this coming Saturday as I spend some time with my neighbors. But those cards are available at both doors, so I would encourage you to take one and pass and grab it and fill it out. And you can also be praying for those who are already in your sphere of influence and those who God is just bringing in as a surprise to you that you weren't expecting. So think about it. This is the heart that our Father is recreating within us. But I want to give you some questions to go home with. So get out your pen and paper and you can write these down. Or they will be posted on the website as well. But go back and watch the video again. And as you watch, what do you see with new eyes? What do you see in the eyes and the countenance of the guests of Lisa? And what's happening within you as you watch that? What's happening in you as you watch that? Is there something within you that says, wow, I don't know how to become that kind of person. And even if I become that kind of person, I'm not sure how to live as that kind of person. But embrace that. What do you find beautiful about what you see in that video? What do you find difficult? Second question is this. What are the heart and logistical challenges that you face to offering belonging, connection, and open-heartedness to others? What are the heart issues, obstacles? What are the logistical obstacles that you find, that you face to offering belonging, connection, and open-heartedness to others, friends, acquaintances, and strangers? Wrestle with that. Invite someone else to wrestle with that with you. Thirdly, are you willing to take the next steps to address these challenges? And if so, what are those next steps? And fourth, who can you invite to join with you in this transformation process? Because it is a transformation process. Because we will all have to confront the jerk within, right? Because we all have them. Who can you invite to join you in this transformation process? And finally, who can you show hospitality or open-heartedness to over the next few weeks? Who can you sit down with and just say, tell me your story? I had a good friend walk up to me this last week and said, Martin, I used a Martinism. This is what we're calling it now, a Martinism. And I asked one of my main neighbors, tell me your story. She went, whoo, did she? You don't always know what to do with it, but people long to be heard. They long to be known. So you got some homework, right? And Greg, would you make sure that those questions are posted on the website? Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Because God is recreating us to be open-hearted people. He's recreating Beth and Taylor. He's recreating John. I'm with you, buddy. He's with Becca and, you know, all you folks over here. He's with Mark, saying, Father saying, Mark, I want to make you an open-hearted person. He's saying to Roger, I want to make you an open-hearted person. He's saying to Deb, I'm making you an open-hearted person. Right? Question is, are we willing to say, yes, Father, I don't want to fight against it. I want to embrace it, and I want to confront the jerk within who seeks to sabotage it. All right? Every one of us has that work going on within us. And we're either cooperating with it, or we're sabotaging it. Father, as we come before you, Lord, I pray that you would indeed do that work deeper and deeper within us so that, Lord, we can be a guide for others. Father, so that we can be words of life, the presence of life, not our life, but yours on behalf of others. So, Father, do that work. And, Lord, may your longing echo within our hearts in such a way that there's no way that we can shut it out. So, Father, we commit ourselves to you for your honor and for your glory and for your purpose. And all God's people said, you know what amen means, right? So be it. All right, let's all stand.